You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I am so thrilled to be here. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar Esquire. We'll talk a little bit about the show he had on Saturday night, which was spectacular. But I do have to tell everyone who is on the roads, please, 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 I can't urge you strongly enough to please be careful out there. I was on the Kennedy, just making my way, Esmeralda, just happy as you please. I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I mean, I left a little late for conditions. I knew I was taking my chances. And it was, you know, from Jefferson Park to about, it was, you know, okay, about 50 miles an hour. It's pretty good for conditions. I was like, okay, yeah. This isn't bad. I'm going to make it on time. I'll make it with 8 minutes to spare even. I didn't have my Waze on, though. If I had my Waze, I would have known sooner that there was a catastrophe just south of, or whatever it is, east of North Avenue. And I got off at North Avenue, as you do. I'm so glad. Thank you. Thank you, everyone on the Kennedy. I'm so sorry that you're there. But thank you for not everyone getting off at North Avenue, because it would have been rough. But me and about, I would say about 35 cars made our way over to get off at North Avenue. And then I cut over. But I texted Esmeralda at that red light. I'm like, there is something bad going on. And you said it's a 20 to 25 car pileup.
In the express lanes.
Yikes.
For some reason, people thought it would be quicker.
Well, and I've been told by friends of mine who work for the 911 call center never to take... My friend Mike told me never to take the express lanes at all under any circumstances, because if there is a catastrophe like this, if there's a big accident, big pileup, it's hard for rescue crews to get to you because there are the cement barriers. For those of you not from the Chicagoland area, it's basically like a chute. You get into the express lanes and there's only two places out when you're going toward the airport. You can only get off at Fullerton or later on going to the Edens or straight ahead to back to the Kennedy up there by the junction.
I agree. I would never, even in the greatest conditions, get into an express lane.
I do it if I'm in a hurry and I can tell that the express lanes are going to be faster. But yeah, my friend Mike, who, like, again,
will they be?
Will they be? Yeah, sometimes they are. Sometimes and sometimes you'll look over if you don't get in the express lanes and go, I really should have taken my chances today, because you just see people flying. It depends. You can never quite figure out the science of it, because sometimes it's better on the first half and to get in the express lanes and then get off at at Fullerton and take the second half, or vice versa, to just go with the regular traffic on the Kennedy and then cut over to the express lanes for the second half of the
I find them very claustrophobic.
I do. I have to agree with you on that. And that's the thing. In this kind of weather, any miscalculation, any mistake whatsoever driving, any slip, and you hit a cement barrier. That's all there is, cement barriers and other cars. And so I hope that everyone is okay. Have we heard anything about any injuries? There have to be, I would think.
From what I'm seeing, they range from minor to major. But they're still trying to get in there.
Yeah.
So that's right now they have, from what I'm hearing, is they have at least 7 ambulances, and so far only 6 Jeez. Patients. So
it was good. When I texted Esmeralda, I got off at North, like, you could just see a wall of emergency lights and, you know, first responders trying to get there. And then I talked to you, Paul, and I said I was at the Ohio Feeder. The Ohio Feeder ramp going onto the Kennedy is closed outbound. There was another accident on the Ohio Feeder, too. There were 3 cars piled up against the cement barrier. So 312-981-7200. If you are on the Kennedy, I can tell you how to get out of that. If you haven't gotten to North Avenue yet, here's what you do. Although, right? I feel badly, because then everyone's going to get over. And what if something happens? Because, like, well, Patty Vasquez told me to go this way. Here's what I did.
I would say, if you're trying to get in downtown, get off
Esmeralda
the Kennedy.
It,
just get off the Kennedy.
Yeah, get off the Kennedy if you can.
Take Elston. Take Milwaukee.
If you are coming either direction, by the way, too, because it's a mess on the other side, because they're trying to get to the cars. So outbound and inbound. When you said 32 minutes, that's got to be getting worse. That's got to be climbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, well, it's they're trying to, crews are trying to get over there, so there's that.
That's rough.
And, then trying, your tow trucks are going to have to try to get in there.
Yeah,
the tow trucks
were, so at the North Avenue exit, the tow trucks were at the edge of the ramp, because there's nothing they can do yet. Their tow trucks were starting to line up on the side of traffic. because the express lanes are on the interior of the highway. So there were some, the tow trucks
were starting.
They can't get over yet. And there's no.
I never thought of that. That's crazy.
They have no need to yet because the emergency vehicles still need to get to any of the victims. So hopefully everyone is okay. 312-981-7200. Let us know what you're seeing. Please be careful out there. The snow has slowed down in downtown Chicago. There are warnings of lake effect snow. And if you are not familiar with that, please, please take heed. If you hear that there's a lake effect snow coming your way, please be careful. If you've never been in it, you know when you get in your car and you haven't scraped everything off yet and there's just layers of snow and ice? That's what it looks like in a whiteout. All you can see is the inside of your car. You cannot see anything else. So if you are still moving, your chances of running into something are 1,000%. Driving off the road.
No, if that's accurate.
It's not accurate. You know why? Because 1,000% is not a thing. It's not actually a measurement.
Anything's possible.
A million percent?
Yeah.
See, 100%, it's significant. Because if there were cars in front of you a moment ago, you'll be in that car with your front end in a second.
I stopped taking math junior year in high school. So I don't know those.
Well, you know what's the most important thing in this situation? Physics. More after this on 720. You know why? Because two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. So it's important to remember in these conditions. More after this.
That's also
impossible.
I agree to disagree.
An energy can neither be created nor destroyed. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Thankfully, I hope everyone else out there is safe and well. I know that there's a big accident on the Kennedy Expressway. I was just behind that wall of brake lights. Luke is joining us. Hey, Luke, what do you want to tell us?
Oh, yeah. So I got on from North Avenue going outbound on the Kennedy.
Yes.
And I was clear. I was free of the traffic.
Yeah, because all that traffic's behind you there, wasn't it? Isn't that a weird feeling?
It must have been. Yeah, it wasn't so bad. But then I saw the inbound coming in, and it was all backed up really bad.
How far back did you see that backed up? Like past, was it California, Belmont almost?
It started piling up at Armitage. No, it was, and then Fullerton.
Yeah.
So you could probably get off on Diversity, but you probably should get off on Fullerton.
Run for your lives, everyone.
Clyburn. Yeah.
Well, thank you for letting us know, Luke. Where are you headed tonight?
Oh, I just got done with my shift, so I was driving tonight with Uber.
Oh, you were driving for Uber? Okay.
Yeah, side streets are really, really bad, but the main streets are good.
Oh, that's good to hear. Well, thank you so much, Luke. Be safe out there, all right?
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you for listening, too. Talk to you soon. Joining us in studio, really wonderful story. The Chop House is going to be donating. Is it Chop Shop? Chop Shop. Why did I say Chop House? That was my fault.
Very common mistake.
Chop Chop. Hi, Zoltan. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm wonderful. And you guys were inspired by Chance the Rapper's donation to the Chicago Public Schools. He's given $1 million in order to help some of the schools, which is really kind of it's a small portion of what they need, but it's a step in the right direction. And you guys have stepped up to help out as well.
Yeah, we're trying to do our part. You know, everybody kind of that's doing something like this, it's kind of a chipping away kind of idea. You know, obviously, like you said, we took inspiration from Chance's situation. Awesome thing that he did there. You know, one of the owners at Chop Shop has a child at Hamilton School in Lakeview.
Okay.
So there's a personal side to it. There's also, you know, just trying to help out with anything we can with the city, you know, on that level.
So how can your customers get involved?
So what we're doing is we're donating $1 of every sandwich we sell for the month of March.
Excellent.
So that includes anything from our deli all the way through the restaurant. You know, and we've got a multi-tiered kind of situation there where we have a deli shop or a deli and a butcher shop, but it's also connected to a restaurant bar.
Mm-hmm.
So there's quite a few different ways we can kind of access that situation.
Cool. And where's the Chop Shop located?
So we're at 2033 West North Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
We're just west of the North and Damon intersection there.
Okay.
Pretty crazy area.
Is that Bucktown or Wicker Park?
You know, we're technically Wicker Park.
See, anytime you have to start a sentence with technically.
I mean, I think if you go, if you cross the street in certain points there,
right.
It's Bucktown.
Exactly. So North Avenue is the defining line between Bucktown and Wicker Park?
I believe so.
They're like right around the six corners.
You know, and sometimes some of those neighborhoods have little cutarounds and things. So
now, is that a six corners or is Irving, Pulaski, and Cicero the six corners?
Okay.
And then what is Northwest Highway in Milwaukee, Foster,
Southport,
Central?
and
dangerous conditions.
Dangerous conditions.
That's sure. what it is.
That's, my intersection is more of a 12-point intersection, so I don't know. It is. It's got Central, Foster, Northwest Highway, Milwaukee. I think that's all that's there. It's a lot of streets.
Easy light.
You think there's a lot of accidents on the Kennedy tonight. Yeah. So where are you from, Zoltan?
Personally?
Yeah. No.
Your alter ego.
I am from...
I've never had anyone respond that way. Where are you from, Zoltan? Me?
Yes, of course. I am from a small town in Illinois called Sterling.
Mm-hmm. About, I'm familiar with it. They have a prison there.
Mm-hmm.
Sterling and Pontiac are the sister cities.
Sterling and Rock Falls.
Rock Falls. I'm sorry, yep. Not Pontiac.
Yep,
Rock
right Falls. Off of 88. Grew up there, moved here to go to school, and then delved deep into the restaurant world, and I've been there since.
Did you know Don Dibert? See, I only know one person from Sterling Rock Falls.
Everybody always does that.
I rarely know the person. What school brought you to Chicago?
I started at Loyola.
Okay. You started at Loyola.
Started at Loyola and went elsewhere at some point.
You as well, producer Tom Hush, filling in tonight for Mike Heidemann, who is apparently very convenient that half of the WGN staff fled the city when there was any news of snow. Mike Heidemann mysteriously in Texas all of a sudden.
Who knows?
So you went to Loyola as well?
Yes, I did. Graduated in May.
You just graduated. Nice. And you were saying that you...
I ended up going to Truman at one point then went vocational with the restaurant world at one point.
And what drew you to the restaurant world?
Money at one time.
Really?
And then I started working for a place up north in Glenview, old Irish-American place called Hackney's.
Sure. And, great burgers.
Became one of those kind of family situations and stayed there for quite a while, learned quite a bit. And then just recently, in the last few years, one of the owners, Mario Minnelli of Chop Shop, an old friend of mine, kind of approached me and the timing was right. And it was kind of an exciting thing they were doing there there's always something happening at Chop Shop. That's one thing we joke about, but it's also a fact.
And how would you describe Chop Shop to people who are not familiar with the restaurant?
It's a good question because we have, we call it the multi-tiered, multifaceted, multi-headed beast sometimes. So when you first walk in, there's a butcher shop and deli, which that comes from Mario's family. The Minnellis own a deli butcher shop in Niles. It's been there for...
On Milwaukee?
Yeah, on Milwaukee.
I love that place.
Forever and a
What's
day.
What's the name of that one?
Minnelli's Meats.
Minnelli's Meats.
Yep.
Hello, Minnelli's Meats.
So we kind of, definitely took a good amount of the family kind of recipes that he brought on.
I have to ask the name because I always just know where that butcher shop is. It's got the brown and yellow writing on it. Is it the one?
They're in the mall there now.
They're in the mall now.
Oakton Mall or Oak Mill? I can't remember what it's called.
Oak Mill Mall. You're right. It's at Oakton and Milwaukee Avenue.
Right.
It's a weird mall. Oh, it's good for them.
I'm pretty sure they do a lot of the business in that property there.
You think that, and then there'd be another business be like, no, we're the ones that are the big draw there.
They do have a lovely piano player in the afternoon.
You have to go there, Paul. It's a weird, it's sort of like a throwback, what? It's not like a regular mall. It's a strange sort of, it's frozen in time. It's frozen in the 1970s.
For sure. Yes. Absolutely.
Not my favorite era, but maybe I'll try it next time I'm stuck in the suburbs.
Good food in that little mall. I'm sorry, carry on. So you were saying that sort of this blend of the butcher
shop. Yeah, so the butcher shop deli comes from Mario's side. One of the other owners, Nick Moretti, they all obviously have hands in all sides of the business. Nick is more the restaurant bar side of the business. And then there's Matt Woodburn, who brings his world of, event planning because we have an event space in the back of the building. That can hold, up to 500 people standing room.
And they do live music there, too. I know Woody.
You do know Woody. All right.
Shoeshine Boy?
Shoeshine Boy Productions.
I think everybody knows Woody.
Well, both those guys. And it's a great space now for live music now that Double Door is gone. And it's a possible place where they can start getting some music.
Well, and of course, they've reached out to us for a few shows because of things, going south for them a little sooner than they wanted. Too bad for them. We love those guys. They're great people. But we're going to, we're definitely going to embrace anything we can that's coming our way. So, anything from concerts. We do charity events. We had Chicago Children's Choir recently. Mm-hmm. We do, corporate parties. Just about anything you can fit in the room, depending on your setup, of course. But
Cool. And where can people get information about the Chop Shop?
You go to our website, chopshopshi.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's our event calendars there. There's contact, all the information. There's a lot of pictures on there to kind of show you what we've got going on in the building, listing of some of our promotions that we're offering. So, and there's always, you know, from butcher classes that we do periodically. We do daily specials, of course, because we try and be the neighborhood joint as well as because we've got we've got a couple of levels, so we can offer different kinds of service there as well.
Right.
From just classic kind of casual bar to, you know, sit down dining in our upstairs dining room. As soon as the weather gets nice, which it's not showing right this second, we're going to have our patio going. So
girl can dream.
Patio.
It'll be there soon.
We'll have slushies rocking here in the next month or so. It's a fun spot.
Well, and don't forget, everyone, you can stop by the Chop Shop and they are donating $1 from each one of their deli sandwiches. All the sandwiches or just the deli sandwiches?
All the deli sandwiches throughout the month of March.
$1 for each sandwich is going to the Chicago Public Schools. And you know what? It's a shame that the state can't step up, but you know what? The neighborhoods can. So we want to thank everyone at the Chop Shop for contributing and being a part of the solution, because the governor and Speaker Madigan and everybody else, they are not. So thank you so much.
We're more than happy to be doing this. So
appreciate
thank you guys.
That. Well, have a great evening. Again, everyone go to chopshopchai.com. That's C-H-I. Not that they're shy, but chai. Or not T either. C-H-I. That's probably C-H-I. The best way.
Like the city.
So personally, pleasure to meet you, Zoltan.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Have personally, a great evening. Personally, thank you. More to this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. It's not snowing so much down here, but I know that there are some icy and slippery conditions all over the Chicagoland area and through the Midwest. So please be careful wherever you're driving. And our truckers, I know that we have a lot of truckers that listen to the show. Hope you're doing well. Check in with us. Let us know how the roads are out by you. 312-981-7200. And we also have comedian Paul Farvar in studio. You made it just fine. How were the conditions in your neighborhood?
They were a little icy, but I didn't have to go as far as you did. So I just came from a show and came straight here. I was early, actually, once.
I know you called. And I was leaving again. I was leaving later than I should have for conditions. And I, for a moment, thought about just calling for a Lyft or an Uber, because then I could, you know, prep for the show and I wouldn't have to worry about driving. And then I thought, you know what, if it's nasty out and a last minute decision has to be made, I go crazy when I can't tell my Uber or Lyft driver, like, get off here and then go this way and then go that way. I don't necessarily know the streets. I just know where to go. Like, I kind of knew I had to get off at North and then cut over to Elston down to Division. I knew I'd be fine. But I was glad I didn't take the Uber or the Lyft. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, yeah, you know, actually, and not just because of your story that you're about to tell us, but lately I've been trying to back off of using other, you know, one, to save money, because it's very easy to just pull up a car on your app. Mm-hmm. So unless I'm in a situation where I know I should not drive, if I've had too much to drink, or it would just be, you know, into something where I know if, like, I'm going to get somewhere and parking will cost me more than to just get an Uber car, I'll do it that way. But I've been trying to back off of it. And then I saw your story and I was like, yeah, this is another reason why the whole system is flawed. We know that Lyft and Uber, it's a flawed system right now. It puts cab drivers at a significant disadvantage because they are regulated much more strictly mm-hmm. than Uber and Lyft are. And they also, the cab drivers are put through so much more than Uber and Lyft, because what happened to you, I don't know that, I think that that's illegal, I'm guessing. So tell us what happened to you earlier, because you left our show on Monday, all raring to go, set to fly out to Florida.
Yeah, I had an 8:31 flight from
O'Hare. That minute's important.
Yeah, and it does come into play. I drive everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to drive, and I don't mind unless I'm going to be gone for more than 4 days. I typically drive to the airport and just park,
because mm-hmm.
it's just whatever.
How much does it cost a day to park there?
Midway's cheaper, but okay. It's like it comes to like $12 to $15 if you go into the economy
mm-hmm.
side, but a cab or an Uber is about the same if
sure.
it's 2 days or 3 days, whatever.
It's about $30 round one way.
$35 for me, yeah,
okay.
without tip. I was on the show. We talked for a little bit after the show. I went to bed at 3:00. I woke up at 6:30, 3 hours of sleep standard, and I I got ready and I got an Uber at about 7:15. He came at 7:20, and I went downstairs 7:20 a.m.
And when you, by the way, for those who've never used Uber, when you request the car, you also type in what your destination is going
exactly.
to be. But the driver doesn't know until you get in the car.
Until he arrives. I didn't know that. I found out a lot after this incident.
Okay. Oh, you didn't know. Okay, I'm sorry.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that they don't know where you're going
yes.
until you get into the car.
Yes. They don't have the destination until you get
right.
there, which is weird. I mean, I would think, I guess they figure people will decline a lot of fares if they don't like the neighborhood they're going to or
right.
the distance.
Or
okay.
if it's a far drive, I suppose.
Right.
So I get down there at 7:20 and he tells me, oh, where are you going? I said, O'Hare, like I told you, he goes, oh, I'm not going to O'Hare today. I told them at work or something. He said something weird. And I go, oh, I didn't know that was a possibility.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, I can't go to O'Hare today. He started mumbling something under his breath. And then I was like, oh, he goes, just cancel it and
someone
will be right here. In my head, I was like, okay, not a big deal because there was like 14 or 15 in the area.
Right. You can see on your phone
how many
cars are circling.
Right. There was a bunch circling. It's 7:20. It wasn't like it was right before rush hour in my area.
And do you know when you cancel a ride, that actually counts against you too?
Correct.
So
you get penalized. I actually had I had a situation which the first time I used Uber, I had a cancellation. This was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I canceled it was because another driver came. I thought it was him. He goes, oh, no, that's not me, but cancel it and I'll take the ride. And I didn't know that was penalizing
yeah.
him. At that time, the guy who I canceled on left me a voice message that was very vulgar
yeah.
and called me all kinds of names. I forwarded it to Uber. And they apologized and they refunded my cancellation
right.
fee. And I told them what happened and whatever.
So weird.
Both people.
See, this is where Uber and Lyft are weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, go
ahead. So back
Plus
to...
they have your phone number. That's one of the things that's
right.
strange about the whole thing, too. Is that...
And they know where you live.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's another thing that concerned me. So he canceled. He goes, I'll cancel for my phone. Give it a minute. And I go, okay, well, I'm kind of late. I put it in. Another 2 minutes later, someone comes. Another Uber comes. And he sees my bag. Meanwhile, I'm on Lincoln Avenue in Lincoln Park. Two cabs come by and they go, you going to the airport? I'm like, yeah, but I already got a ride.
I
thought I had a ride. So I declined two cabs and I get to the second guy, does a U-turn and he goes, oh, I can't take you to the airport. I go, wait, no, I'm like, at this point, it's like 7:30. My flight's an hour away. And he said, no, I've got to pick up my.
No.
He said, I got to pick up his wife at 30. I don't remember. He said something about something in 30 minutes. I go, great. It's a 30-minute ride right now, according to Waze. He goes, I can't do it. And then he just sped off. And then he didn't cancel right away, so I couldn't get another Uber.
Your phone's locked up.
Yeah. So I was just, at this point, I'm just panicking.
And you don't have Lyft as a backup app?
I do, but I did. At the third time, I put both to
right.
see which one comes first.
Sure.
And then the third guy... finally came an Uber at like 7:37. He was awesome, by the way. This
right.
driver was amazing. He apologized. He goes, they're not supposed to do that.
No.
The reason why he thinks they did it is because they can make more money in his mind. They're thinking they can go back and forth from the loop.
Right.
At like 7:40 or so, it gets really crowded. So they can go back and forth from Lincoln Park and get more
on a weekday.
Fares.
Okay. So people are going to work. Sure.
I'm like, well, I mean, with tip, you are making the same amount because I took care of him. But anyway, so the third guy goes, he tried his best to get me to the airport. I get there at 8:23.
Yeah. Yeah, be there 10 minutes before the doors
10
close.
10 minutes before, they said. The bridge was like away. I go, is there any way, can you call the pilot? Because I remember.
Call the pilot?
Well.
That's for all that I'm like.
I'm already like, what are you doing getting into a car an hour before your flight, fella?
Oh,
an hour?
You're supposed to be there at least 2
oh,
ahead.
You had an hour and 10 minutes.
When I first did it, I called at 7:15.
Yes.
I've never
I am already at the
flight.
Airport at that point.
Yeah.
I've never missed the flight. This was the first time.
I always get
to
an airport. I'm never less than 45 minutes. Actually, I get there an hour before. Because you can't check your bags before.
I wasn't checking bags.
I know.
So I had this TSA. So... If the first guy...
Are you ever going to leave with an hour and 15 minutes to spare before
a
flight?
I mean, I have, but...
yeah.
I left it. If he got me there...
Try calling the pilot, Esmeralda. Says,
well, no,
hey,
man.
Dude,
no.
Could you just back up? Could you just...
well, you joke about it, but the pilot has final say in right. whether someone goes on and off. And I know that from when I used to represent, I had a case involving O'Hare in 2001 when I was a lawyer.
And what circumstances would a pilot be like, sure, I'll back up?
There wasn't backing up.
I know. I just put the
it
jetway back
there.
Up. Okay.
It wasn't all the way.
He hadn't pushed off yet.
Yeah. Okay. So typically they want to do it because it just, they want to help as many people as they can. I don't know. I don't know if they get credit.
What?
He's adorable. I'd be like, you left with an hour.
Well, don't they shut the
first
doors
all,
and the thing is the bridge
yeah.
is still there? Like, no, we're done.
Well,
we can't open
all,
the doors.
Okay. Esmeralda. Here's what happens. You said an hour and a half. I call at 7:15 or 7:20.
Hour and 15 you had.
I would have been there. I would have been at the airport already.
Yeah.
But it only takes 25 minutes.
What is wrong with
point.
You, man?
I would have
been
Did
there. You have to go through the line?
I don't have to go through any line. What are you talking about? Oh, because I'm Middle Eastern. I need to go through a line?
No, because we all do.
No, we all do for TSA.
What is wrong
have
with
the,
you?
If you have the...
Pre-check can still be long.
Anyway... I've never missed
wait,
a flight,
so, wait.
And I made it. I see you making faces, Esmeralda.
We called the pilot.
You were killing
me. Call the pilot.
Me
you
up?
Know who I am.
Hold on. 312-981-7200. Everyone call and yell at Paul. 312. Call,
yell at me?
Call
what
and
are
yell
you
at Paul.
About?
312-981-7200.
For being late?
Yeah, pretty much. And hey, Mr. Pilot, could you
oh,
just...
Oh, by the way, the flight was delayed.
More so after this. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farivar, who had a flight to catch on Tuesday morning. And ultimately, we were teasing you because
yeah.
we wish you would leave a little bit earlier. But you're right. You had plenty of time to get to the airport. And the other thing is, your Uber driver should not, neither one of them should have been like, oh, that's where you're going? Never
it's
mind.
Too far.
You, no, but like once you're in the car, I mean, they've accepted the ride. They have an opportunity
yeah.
to turn down the ride once they get it just because they don't like where you're going. Isn't enough of a reason to decline you. And that would be against the law if someone did that in Chicago with a cab driver. If someone got in a car and said, hey, I'm going to, you know.
Well, they committed to the agreement.
Yeah.
So, like, if I canceled, I'm penalized. And Uber has a cancellation policy.
Right.
So that means they've already thought this through. And there's no notice to a driver.
And
if
you'd
I
be,
knew.
And you would be penalized if you had canceled.
Yeah, it's
you
a $5 to $10.
Joining us on the line, we have a driver for Lyft. We have Larry on the
Yay.
Line. I've had the pleasure of riding in his car, as a matter of fact. Hey, Larry, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm glad it was a pleasure. How are you all?
Very good. And we were talking about, have you ever had a passenger get in your car and you've been like, I'm not going there? I can't imagine Larry
no,
doing that.
No, never, never, never. And I don't know why anybody would still use Uber, but we can get into that later or never. But with Lyft, you have 5 minutes to cancel. The rider has 5 minutes to cancel and there's no charge, because that happens to me a lot. A lot of people will choose a ride, and within 3 minutes, they've already canceled. I'm already on my way there. So it's a two-way thing. Drives me nuts.
Sure.
But the fact that you gave I do have to tease them because I drive to the airport. It's Chicago. It's not like Chicago 30 years ago. You have no idea what the highway is. It
Absolutely.
Could be 20 minutes. It could be 50 minutes. You need to give yourself more time for the airport, unless that's your style.
Right.
You like last minute. But
The adrenaline, the last minute
no,
adrenaline.
No, it's not that. I mean, it only if you drive there without like at that time when they first called it, I would
at
have made
7:20 on a Tuesday.
Yeah, there's no. There's when you get to the airport, there's nobody flying.
Yeah, but you have
time.
To get to the airport. There are yeah. people.
We're talking about, the, we're
from,
talking
where
about
I am.
From where you are to the airport.
Yeah, Lincoln
Forget
Park.
About the airport, just the highway.
Right,
yeah.
The
right,
highway
right.
can be anything. It could be 20 minutes. It could be
right.
70.
Oh, well, I did look up ways before it, and I was saying it was 20 to 25 minutes.
Ah, so you were pre-planned. I do that too.
I was debating whether to drive or to, at that point, I was like, should I drive? But I'm like, oh, I get an Uber. He can make it. And he calculated if he came at 7:15, I would have made it at 7:45 at the latest.
Well, that'll teach you to use Uber.
That's
I'm happy
right.
to share my promotional code for $15 or
yeah.
for anybody.
Yeah, please.
Larry, what's
I use Lyft now.
This is for new riders who's never used Lyft before. You can download this code on your phone, and you have 2 weeks to get $15 of free rides from any Lyft driver. The code, can I give it?
Yeah, please.
Well, you're a huge help. Thank you.
Of course.
The code would be Larry. 632-714. Again, it's Larry. 632-714. When you download Lyft, you put in that code before you ever order a ride, And once you download it, you have 2 weeks to get the $15 of free rides. And then, that, again, that's for new riders who've never used Lyft. And I promise when you use Lyft, you'll probably never go back to Uber.
Ever. Yeah, I used Lyft because I missed my flight. I had to go back and forth to the airport 7.5 hours later.
Ugh.
And I did Lyft both ways.
Yeah.
And,
I use primarily Lyft, as Larry knows. I use Uber because there are certain towns that don't have Lyft at all, so I keep the app on my phone.
Okay.
But I like having the option of being able to tip.
That's true too.
You know, it just goes through your app. Hey, Larry, will you help us with a listener who has a question about Lyft and Uber?
Love to.
Hold on one second. Hey, Judy, good to hear from you. How are you doing tonight?
Okay, Patty, how are you?
Very well. Maybe Larry can help you out with your question. What do you want to ask?
I was calling to ask how would a person who has no vision get Lyft or Uber when, you know, even if you had an app on the phone, you wouldn't know where the cab was once he got to your house. And they don't have, you know, for handicapped people, and they don't have a direct number that you can call.
They do, actually. They do have your number. Larry, have you had any experience with visually impaired passengers?
Not visually impaired, if I could correct one thing, though, and I'll answer her question. That is, we do not have your number.
Oh.
We have a number out of California, God knows where, and you don't have my number, I don't have yours. It is a third party that kind of, that's how we communicate. No one has your number, I don't have you, and you don't have mine.
Interesting.
But anyway,
okay.
I don't know how a visually impaired person uses the phone and all that, but once you've ordered the ride, you can simply call the driver again through that third party. It's some number in Atlanta or California or whatever. I answer the phone and you tell me the story. Like, people may have a dog or people may have a certain situation. Just call ahead. Tell them I'm visually impaired. This is exactly where I need you to be. And when you come, do you mind like helping me from the door? Whatever it may be. We're happy to do that.
Yeah, because I've heard that people complain that Uber especially has no facilities for handicapped people.
There is a certain, I don't know the number, but there is a minimum percentage mm-hmm. of cars for at least Lyft, I know, that must be wheelchair accessible.
Yeah, they have to be ADA. They have to meet the ADA standards.
And I don't have any access for handicap, but, you know, if I came, you called, I would, you know, you just set it up and I would get out of the car and help you. And I mean, most Lyft drivers would do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a friend.
Couldn't speak for Uber drivers, though.
Do it that way, too.
Yes, if you have a friend who has the app, is that what you're asking, Judy?
No, if you have a friend, like I have a friend in the building that drives for Uber sometimes. So once in a while I'd ask him, I said, can you give me your ride? Then he says, well, I have to put your number in with the Uber.
Right. Yeah, there's a weird way. I have friends who drive for Uber, too, and, like, we have to try to match it up where if I'm, like, standing next to his car, you can't actually request a driver or a passenger through the app. It's kind of weird that way. I have to take a break, Judy. I hope that helps a little bit. We'll try to find out more information for you, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Larry.
It was great talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you. Calling
Bye-bye.
Time. We're up to this on 720 WGN. A listener has called to ask how things turned out. And, Paul, we can't ask yet because I have to go to the news. We have time after the news to do it. It's not because we last left Paul at the jetway at O'Hare Airport. He wanted to speak to the pilot. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. That's music by Jared Raven, and he'll be playing at Martyrs coming up on March 18th. Oh, no, you're in the Songwriters Showcase at South by Southwest on March 18th. When is your performance at Martyrs?
It was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
But we have a couple things in town coming up.
But was it in March or no?
It was...
I'm just looking at my. It says on my schedule. It says Jared Rubin is at.
It was in early March. Yeah.
It says this month plus songwriters.
I can't even remember.
Okay.
What, yeah, and
you and I are the same way. I'm like, I don't know. Just tell me where to show up, and
yeah,
I'll be
totally.
There.
We're playing a couple times this week in town, though. Before then, and then I'm going to South by Southwest over next weekend.
Oh, very cool. And yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
This is Kyle.
I'm Kyle.
Hi. He's like Jared's like, this is Kyle. I had to bring Kyle. Hi, Kyle. We're gonna listen to some. We're gonna hear some music in a few moments. We have to finish a story that we've left people in the lurch. We've left them wondering what in the world happened when Paul Farivar, on Tuesday morning, attempted to grab an Uber to get a ride out to the airport. Got called for the Uber at 7:15. His flight was leaving at 8:31.
Yeah.
The car arrived at 7:20.
8:31. Yeah.
I know. The car arrived at 7:20. The first driver declined, said that
something weird, yeah.
And then the second driver.
I'm just watching Esmeralda to see her nodding.
She's shaking her head at you.
I can't
disparagingly.
I can't with this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the second driver also declined.
Declined, saying he had to meet his wife or something in 30 minutes.
He also said Shimon Hemina. And then the third driver it valiantly tried to get you to the airport.
Yes.
In the meantime, you'd waved off two cabbies.
Two cabbies.
They saw
me with luggage and they were going to take me willingly.
Yes. As opposed
with no
to.
No problems.
As opposed to against your will.
Well, like they. Yeah, they weren't going to. They knew that I was going to the airport. It was. I looked.
So you finally get into an Uber at 7:37. Arrived at the airport at the gate, at the jetway.
8:10 probably. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, Got through TSA.
Because you didn't check a bag.
I didn't check a bag.
Because otherwise it's all lost. By the time you caught the cab, you were
already... If I knew I had to check a bag, I would have been there a lot earlier.
Yes.
Let's not kid ourselves, Esmeralda.
So you get to the jetway at 8:29.
No.
And they've closed. You said
there at 8:23.
Okay.
And they said...
Oh, right. Yes.
They said that they closed the bridge 10 minutes before our flight.
Yes.
So I missed it by 2 minutes, three minutes. And I said, well... And I didn't say, can I talk to the pilot? I said, will you call the pilot and see if he's willing to make an exception? And I gave a sob story. About
what was your sob story?
Well, there were two parts to it. One was I was going there.
You're going to see your, I'm going to see my parents.
Well, my father was in a car accident. He's okay. But I mean, he did get into a car accident. He is okay. I didn't say that part, but I mean, he was.
My father's been in a car accident.
Going to see him.
Okay.
And I had all these problems getting here. And she made the call. They had a 1 to 2 minute conversation. Uh-huh. And he decided, no, we will not bring the bridge back.
Do you think if you'd been flying in first class, do you think that would have made a difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
I'm a points member.
A United member.
Oh, it's United. How many miles do you have?
I used all my miles on this trip and had to pay for additional. I think I paid like another $200.
So now you're
out. It was
a
last minute flight. It was a last minute flight because of my dad's accident.
So now you you have to wait 7.5 hours for the next.
So United found me the last seat on the next flight, which was around 2 something, and it's like 8:30 at this point. It was like 8:30.
It was 8:31, as a matter of fact.
No, the flight hadn't left. By the way, the flight hadn't left. So I was like, oh my god, I was still there, and they didn't leave. Even though it was 10 minutes before. And then I got on that flight and I took a Lyft home and went home to take a nap because I didn't get enough sleep. And then I went back later that night on Lyft.
That was a lot of information about missing a flight right there.
Well,
you napped.
Said,
Jared.
This
Jared,
is all because
Jared,
one
do,
person
do, do you
called.
Travel? Do you travel?
Bit of traveling,
do you,
yeah.
How much time do you get? And Kyle, do you travel as well?
I would definitely have left a little earlier than Paul did.
Well, where were you coming from? Where
doesn't
you
matter. Go? You leave a little bit earlier than an hour and 15 minutes. It doesn't. I live 10 minutes from the airport, and I leave an hour and 20 minutes before my flight, hour and a half before my flight. Well, I like getting to the airport.
I get
stressed out. I like knowing that I'm there. Come closer to your microphone.
Yeah, totally.
Come closer to your microphone.
I get stressed out. Yeah. If I'm not there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You will now. How about you?
I'm the exact opposite. I went to school in Boston. I would try to get to Logan 40 minutes before my flight left and be the last one to walk through the airport right onto the plane.
People,
least amount
man.
Of travel time possible.
But he's saying 40 minutes
before. I can
tell
Kyle's a good person.
He's saying you get there 40. In no scenario were you going to get to your flight 40 minutes before the gate closed.
Absolutely, I completely
in no scenario,
disagree.
Esmeralda, at 7:20.
7:15 is when I called. Mm-hmm. He got there at 7:20.
Right,
20
which
to
is
20,
about right for an Uber.
Okay, fine. Let's just say it was 25 minutes of traffic. You know, at the time, Waze was saying 20:25. You usually can beat that.
It's
but let's
still
say,
less than 40 minutes.
No, it's not. Do the math. 7:20.
At 7:20.
7:45. 5.
Okay,
that's
so 45
minutes.
Before the jetway closes. You have to be on the plane 10 minutes before the flight takes off.
So it says on my ticket last boarding is 10 minutes before, which was 8:21.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have made it.
Do you guys take Uber and Lyft?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you have a preference for Uber or Lyft? Which one?
Uber.
Uber, really?
For no real particular reason other than it's just what I got to first.
Right, same. I just don't think I've ever used...
With us musicians, we Lyft. Drive with gear.
We have to drive.
So it's
very rarely.
I use it when I'm out of town and like don't have a car a lot, yeah.
And not taking all your equipment with you.
Right.
Well, did you hear Larry? So he had a Lyft code earlier.
Did
you write down Larry's Lyft
I
code?
I did. I can give it to you guys.
Yeah, you should give him a Lyft code.
I'll try Lyft, yeah.
I think his code was Larry632714.
There you go.
First-time users, take that down, Kyle. 15% off.
There, is it 15? I thought it was more than that.
$1,000 off.
No. Like let's that. Not Perfect. Get it. Let's not get Larry into trouble. So we're gonna have some music. Our guests in studio. We have Jared Rabin and Kyle
Myers.
Kyle Myers, are you performing at South by Southwest as well?
No, I couldn't take him with me, but he's playing with me a couple times in town this week before I go there.
Excellent. All right, we're gonna hear some live music when we come back from Music Monday live in the Allstate Showcase studio. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we are thrilled to welcome Jared Rabin, and here he is playing Feels Like Such a Long Time.
Get away, even for a day. I'm up to my neck, and I'm feeling like a wreck. I'll leave the scene behind, put it out of mind, 'cause it's a joke anyway. There's nothing left for me to say. Look into the mirror and ask why you're still here. Feels like such a long time. Feels like such a long time. Lines drawn in my mind, blurring all the time. The dog barks in my ear, but the message isn't clear. With every passing chance to choose a side and stand, gets missed or cast aside. Now you can't turn back the tide. So look into the why you're still here. Feels like such a long time. Feels like such a long time. Time feels like so such a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was Jared Rubin with Feels Like Such a Long Time. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we'll catch up with Jared. Jared, you can come and grab a microphone again if you'd like to join us over here. We have Paul Farver in studio with us.
Still here.
Still here.
Yeah.
You made it through the,
I made it because I drove.
The first hour and a half of the show. Excellent. Now, Jared, you're heading out to Austin, Texas for South by Southwest. You'll be at the Songwriters event.
Yeah. It's called the Songwriters Showcase during South by Southwest. And I'm also actually playing at the Red Gorilla Music Festival the same day next Saturday.
And before you head out of town, you've got a couple of gigs here in town.
Yeah, we're playing on Wednesday at the Foundation Room at the House of Blues at 8:30. And then Friday we're playing out in the Burbs in Highland Park at a place called the Panda Bar.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Never been there before, but...
Friend of the show plays there. We have Matt Fetterman has played
at the Panda Bar. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And Kyle, where are you from originally?
Wilmette.
From Wilmette? And yes. How did you guys meet up?
Long story, but...
we're here. Yeah. We'll listen.
I was in a band with some guys when I was in high school that went to Highland Park.
Uh-huh.
And Jared here is from Deerfield. And so while I was in college, these guys were a few years older. And they met. When I got done, I met Jared.
That's how your paths
crossed. We played in a band.
Wasn't that long? Was there more you just edited the whole way?
Yeah, there was a little more, but yeah.
There was a prison story in
wow,
there.
Yeah. That's intense. Out.
Jail time. But yeah, we ended up playing in the same band after Kyle came back from college for a few years. And yeah, after that, disintegrated. We've just kept doing stuff since then. Yeah.
And how'd you get involved with for South by Southwest? Because I've never. Have you been to South by Southwest?
I have. Yeah, it's a fun time.
Why did you go this year?
I stopped going when I, kind of stopped playing music and.
Oh, there's so much more than just music now.
It's fun.
It's like music, and it seems like there's all kinds of symposiums and lectures and
a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, it's more. Corporate now than it used to be back in the days.
I was watching some of the panels today.
It seems like that.
It used to be a lot of up and coming acts, but now a lot of signed acts are getting most of the great spots.
Both gigs that we're playing are like unofficial. Like they're not actually part of South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. They're just like tons of stuff that's going on in Austin at the same time because like everyone is there for that week. So like, every place in town has like their own events and stuff too.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. How many times have you gone?
I've never been South by Southwest before. I played in Austin last fall once. Mm-hmm. It was cool. That was my first time there. So yeah, this is my first time going during South by Southwest.
It's very cool. And and you're leaving Kyle behind.
Yeah. It was like the gig that I got originally was like an acoustic songwriter showcase thing because I won this like contest or whatever for the song. So. Yeah, so...
Which song?
It was from my record. It's called Something Left to Say.
Okay.
Yeah, so one is called the USA Songwriters Contest or something.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So, this was like one of... they have a showcase down there, so it's like through that.
Okay, so you're at the House of Blues this Wednesday in the Founders Room and then the...
Foundation Room.
Oh, I heard it the other way. I hear things sometimes.
Cool.
The Foundation Room. I'm not familiar with the Foundation Room because there's...
Kyle, will you be there for that one?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yep.
I got the full band for that one.
The bassist never gets the respect they deserve.
He's going to send it by lift.
Coming from a fellow bassist.
It's a lazy man's guitar, yes.
You haven't even asked them once if you could play djembe for them.
I've retired my djembe days.
Because no one has said yes yet.
Well,
but
that
you could have played with us, Paul.
I forgot to bring my djembe because
we get one of those buckets. A lot of musicians on the street they play
the
like those big.
Those guys are good. Yeah,
the mixing buckets. Can you do one of those?
Those are with sticks. Yeah,
you probably use your hands. I think if you have
instruments,
hold it between your knees.
I feel like you're mocking me, Pat.
I'm not.
Esmeralda, and now you. I see what's going on here.
But Esmeralda, he often brings up the djembe, and yet has never brought a djembe into studio.
Right. I suggested to Mike Heidemann that he book a djembe band.
Djembe bass? Well, acoustic, this would have been perfect if I knew I would have brought it. It would have gone well with the bass.
I think you should bring your djembe and just keep it here.
I will.
I think so, too. I have a drawer. I have an office. You can just lock it up in the office if you want.
It doesn't fit in the drawer.
You could use it when you feel like you got to get
exactly.
The passion out,
I agree. It's a good idea. I like that a lot.
I'll bring it next week.
How long have you been writing music? I mean, can you remember like the first time you just felt the need to put words to music?
Probably like when I was like maybe in junior high, I first started. I got like an 8-track recorder that went to like a zip disc, and I probably first started messing around with writing songs back then. They were probably really bad. But yeah.
Do you ever go through? You ever feel like going through them just to see, like, is there something there I can launch off of?
No, I mean, no? I remember a couple of them, and I have some recordings and stuff that pop up on my like iPod shuffle once in a while, bring back the memories. But yeah, no, there's nothing really good.
I'd like to hear them.
It's been honed.
If I didn't know him then, I'd like to hear.
Exactly.
It's been honed since then.
See what the world has done to him since the days of junior high. Do you write music as well?
No, I just follow his coattails.
Come on.
A bass player.
I don't know.
We play in a lot of different groups.
That doesn't preclude you from being a writer. I don't want to ignore anything that you might be interested in.
We used to try to get him to write something, but I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't think it ever happened.
If it doesn't strike you, hey, you don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah, it's not.
He's the cliche bass player.
What is the cliche of the bass player?
Just like, you know, he's like the bass player.
You're looking at it.
For those of us who don't know, Esmeralda, do you know what the cliche of the bass player is?
He's just kind of like the bass player. Like, you know, that's like his gig, and that's it. Like, he's not like...
They don't have goals.
He's not like the front man.
he's basically saying you don't have goals in life.
Unambitious.
You're right. I let him write them for me. It's a lot easier that way.
I need a lot of support.
312-981-7200. I suspect there's a bass player out there going, hey, now. Yes, Tom, did you want to say something? No? I thought you were going to say.
Well, sometimes they fall into the instrument after playing guitar frustrated for years. That's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And djembe, there's not a lot of demand for djembe, so you're like, it's time to switch over
this
to bass.
This is my niche.
Yeah.
You could create the demand for djembe.
There's always, I could.
Let's not do that. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is Music Monday, and we're thrilled to welcome Jared Rabin, who's heading out to South by Southwest on Saturday for the Songwriter Showcase. But tonight he's live in the studio, and here he is performing Something Left to Tell You.
Noise from the street keeps my eyes open wide through the night. Under the sheets, my heartbeat keeps the time in my mind. If I can't sleep, then I forget to keep my promises. If life plays out just like a song, before the end is come and gone, can I slow down for a while? Not asking a lot, 'cause I have something left to say. Soon tomorrow will be yesterday. Let's split this town. Place that built us up and tore us down. Try to keep pace, this human race passes by, blinking eye. If life plays out just like a song, for the end is come and gone, can I slow it down for a while? I'm not asking a lot, 'cause I have something left to say. Soon tomorrow will be yesterday. Thank you. life plays out just like a song. For the end is come and gone. Can I just slow it down for a while? I'm not asking a lot. Can I just slow it down for a while? I'm not asking a lot, 'cause I have something left to say. Soon tomorrow will be yesterday.
Yeah.
Excellent. That was Jared Rabe with I Got Something Left to Say. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. He is performing on Wednesday night at the House of Blues in the Foundation Room, on Friday night at the Red Panda in Highland Park, and leaving on Saturday for South by Southwest for the Songwriter Showcase. Thank you so much. That's such great music. A lot of our listeners on Facebook Live, you can actually take a look and watch the video streaming right there if you want to go ahead and take a peek. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm swell.
It's hot in here. Is
I'm
it
not
me?
Hot. No, it's
all
just
right,
you.
Then. All right, that's a little. Is it hot in here, Jared? It feels a little bit.
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Everyone's all right. I'm just
me
crazy.
And Kyle are fine. Yeah.
All right, can you turn the lights down? Maybe it's I'm just hot underneath.
It was
these
that
lights.
Hot guitar. I don't know what you're talking about.
It was very hot guitar. That was excellent.
Thank you.
A lot of really wonderful music. What? How old were you when you started playing the guitar? Oops, hold on, let me do that. That's me talking. It happens every single week, Paul. Why don't you tell me that your Facebook Live post is going
to
go all loud and stuff. How old were you when you started playing the guitar?
I was like maybe 11 or 12. I started playing violin when I was 5.
You sound angry about it.
I guess that's like, I can't help it, but it comes out, yeah. It was a lot of practicing as a kid. But yeah.
Sounds like it was not by choice.
Right. My parents kind of like wanted me to play violin as a kid. My grandpa was a professional violinist in Chicago and everything. So,
Do they know it's not genetic? Always.
I mean, I guess it is
to some extent. Music, I guess, can't. Well, I think
I took a different path eventually.
I always think it's more about being surrounded by music, being exposed to music,
that's
understanding
a big part of
music.
It. Yeah, for sure.
We'll never know necessarily if it's genetic, right?
We'll know one day.
Maybe we do. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's
a little of both. Maybe
I haven't done any research. I'll do some controlled studies. I'll start with you, Jared. Is that a problem?
I have a musical family.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing too. Is if you encourage it, you know, they say it's really good for brain development. Kyle, how old were you when you started playing bass? And was it your first instrument?
It was not. I mean, I think we both took piano lessons even earlier than that, probably. But
wow, your parents made you play everything, Kyle. Jared.
Trombone was my first.
Trombone? Yeah. I don't mean I don't know why I chuckled like that.
Funny,
I apologize. It's a great instrument.
You have long arms. It makes sense.
I've never seen him play.
Never thought about that.
That's what they did in band when I was in fifth grade.
See how long your arms
they would measure you up and say, all right, you're going to play this instrument.
I met the Marine Corps has, obviously, their incredible bands that travel around the world. And I met their, the guy who leads them.
Conductor,
thank you very much. It's an important role in the band. I'm so sorry, but he was a tuba player, and they said that they measured him like that was basically by a process of elimination. He was the biggest dude in the class, and they gave him
the
tuba.
With the tuba,
but he's excellent at it.
That's how it works.
And now he's in the Marine Corps, traveling around the world as a conductor.
Yeah,
cool.
At our school, we didn't get a choice. Like they're like, that's what you're going to be. And I remember waiting in line, and I'm like, oh man, I hope I don't get it. Bad instrument.
Trombone.
Was it alphabetical?
I got the cornet. But they just would they'd interview you for a few seconds, have you stand up, do a twirl. I mean, it might have been
a twirl?
Totally arbitrary. I did twirl. I remember I twirled.
Very important in tuba playing.
Yeah. But I know that a friend of mine got the trombone, but he had really long arms. Yeah. And then someone who had I don't know how they measure rhythm, but certain people ended up playing drums, which is what I wanted. And
that's what everyone wants,
Maybe their parents have to have connections.
That's why I stopped trombone. Yeah. Like they measured my T-Rex arms.
He can barely.
They stopped growing. Yeah. That's what happened.
He can barely zipper his pants.
You look like a bass player. That's why I did that. Yeah.
So we wish you the best of luck on your trip to Austin, Texas.
Thank you.
And people can find out your touring schedule and get more of your music by visiting
jaredrabin.com.
That's JaredRabin.
Yep, that's it.
And go to that.com.
Check it out.
JaredRabin.com. And again, he'll be on at the House of Blues in the Foundation Room on Wednesday night, Red Panda on Friday in Highland Park. And we're checking with Mike Heidemann, who's down in Austin, Texas right now.
Oh, cool.
So we'll find out. You can listen.
Tell him to come check us out.
I will. I'm sure he's still going to be there. Enjoy. And Kyle, it's weird when someone comes in, it's the name of their band, it's their name. So yeah, I didn't mean
yeah.
to like.
Yeah.
And the bass player with no goals, apparently, is how you've been labeled as your.
He's my support system.
Kyle and I are going to start.
Did he drive?
Bass and djembe.
It's
project.
Like the best description of me I've ever heard. That bass player with no goals.
Yeah, perfect. That was not me. That was Jared basically implied that that's all you bass know. Players want.
One of my best friends.
Tell it how it is.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll take care of it, Kyle. You and I are going to start our bass and djembe
love
project.
It. Oh, yes. So much fun, you guys. Great music.
Thanks for having us.
Of course, look forward to having you back. Have a great night. Be safe, right. please, out there.
Thank
Esmeralda
you.
Will tell you how the roads are. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me tonight is the never at the airport on time, at least not in a timely manner. Parents all over the country thinking, get to the airport earlier, get to the airport earlier. Paul Farvar, Esquire. Also joining us in studio is comedian and author Erica Nicole Clark. She's written the book How to Be a Stalker, which is available on Amazon.com. Yeah. From her days in high school, figuring out. You've been posting some interesting stories, and really, when your mother was in an accident, that was a really, it must have been such a terrifying time for you.
It was weird. It's weird to, you know, when you get through something and then you look back and I don't even think, I don't know, maybe because I was like 17, 18. Like, now if that happened, I think I would be freaking out. I was much more calmer about it. Looking back on it, it's sad. Does that
right,
make sense
absolutely,
to you?
It makes like, sense. Oh, certainly. Yeah. When you're in it, you don't have much choice.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe when you have more experience and you know what all the gravity of it is.
Right.
Maybe
or the things that could have happened.
Yeah. You start playing it out differently.
Right. Yeah.
And then, and you have a very, you grew up in a very public way in the spotlight, as they say.
Yes.
Your father, one of the most recognizable people on the planet. what do you think is the most recognizable thing about Mr. T? Would you? What do people tell you? Is it his your dad's hair, the gold chains, the voice?
I don't know.
It's all those. It's the whole package.
Fool.
It's
the
whole
fool.
Package.
I don't know, because I have been with him at the airport, and he will wear like a hoodie. Not trying to like, not so much trying to hide, but he'll just have a hoodie on with.
Yeah,
the
just comfortable.
Up. And then kids will still be like, that's Mr. T. So it's like, I don't know if it's the beard, because he'll hide his jewelry.
Yeah.
And they still see it. But when he starts talking, though, that's a definite. Like, giveaway. Like, everyone's like, ah.
Did, so, how much of it, for growing up, was that in the household? Like, did he talk like, I'll pity the fool, like Paul just
no,
said?
No, my dad's super quiet and super shy. And
so he developed a persona.
Yeah. So it's like, that's not, I mean, if he's with his family and stuff, he's loud and joking, but never in that voice.
Yeah.
Never, like, never saying those catchphrases or anything.
That's
like,
too
yeah.
funny. And the reason you call, you're always welcome to the show, by the way. If you ever have anything you want to promote, I've told you that before. But then I saw that you put out a request to all your friends on Facebook that if 45 of us could go in on a house with you,
right.
you would really appreciate it. And I was like, right. I thought about it for a second. I was like, do I know anybody that
right.
wants to live in that house in Lake right. Forest? How so? Your childhood home,
yep.
is on the
market.
It's on the
again.
Market.
Yep.
How many times has it been on the market since you guys moved out?
My mom sold it to this couple named the Shaws, and he was a builder. But I don't know what happened with them, or they couldn't afford it, so they
it's
sold
big.
It. Yeah, so they sold it to these people.
Okay, so and this is the third owner, the yeah. second owner since your father, your yeah. family owned it.
Yeah, and there was only one before.
I so. Never, the only images I remember of it was, were the aerial shots.
Right.
Because I remember watching WGN Morning
yeah.
News,
right.
and they were talking about how the neighbors trees. Were really upset mm-hmm. that he had cut down the trees.
Right.
And everyone was really like, it was a whole, there was a whole public debate yes. about your house.
Yes.
How?
Very weird, especially coming. It was, I think that the way that the news played it, because this is what most people thought who didn't live. They thought my dad was cutting down other people's trees, like that he was just walking through Lake Forest.
It
was
like, chainsaw?
Yeah, like every single person is like,
I
wait
don't
a
like
minute.
This one.
Right,
I
yeah.
the tree.
This
like,
one's ugly.
Everyone's like, wait a minute. They were on your property? Like the house that
yeah.
your dad bought? Like that's
yeah.
his? Yeah, so. But it's Tree City, USA. So
what did the city get involved? Did Lake Forest say?
I don't remember that part of it. But what ended up happening is some boys jumped over our fence. And when we first moved there, because we had like a, we didn't have a good fence. So like Lake Forest kept being weird about, because my dad wanted to put up an all brick fence and they're like, oh, you can't do that. And so my dad was frustrated about that. And then these boys jumped over the fence and they stole license plates because all our cars had personalized license plates. So they jumped over the fence. So my dad was like, because he was up and he was like watching TV. So he's like, if these trees weren't right by this
window, he could have seen them running.
I would have seen them, right? So I think he cut down a couple, and then our neighbor came over and was like, you can't do that. This is Tree City, USA. And my dad's like, I bought this house. I can do whatever I want to, and why are you at my door? And so she went to the newspaper, and I can't repeat what she said, but she said something extremely offensive about my dad.
Because this is the 80s. This is 1980.
Yeah, so it was like, she said something pretty much like,
you not that take, the 80s are more racist, but it was.
Yeah. They're more overt, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but, I don't know about that now.
But something pretty much alluding to, like, you can take a black person out the projects, yep. but you can't take, you know.
Wow.
I remember that.
So my dad.
Did you not know that was part
I don't remember
story?
That part. I remember the yeah. Lake Forest Massacre.
Oh, it got ugly, but yeah. fast. Yeah.
So my dad has seven brothers, or six brothers. So he called them all, and then they just started. Like, oh, for real? So it was my dad's birthday. I think it was his 34th or 35th. So he's like, I'm gonna cut down 35 trees, and just started just knocking
because,
them down.
And if that yeah. woman had just backed
like,
off.
Right. And so then, like, every time my dad would do something, and then, like, so she called CNN, the Tribune, like, so every day.
Do we know this woman's name? Is she
her
is
last
she
name
right
was
now?
Crow.
Crow?
Like, for real.
Is she eating it? Crow, okay.
Among other things.
So I don't remember her first name.
That's all right.
She
we
ended
don't
up
more.
Moving. Mm-hmm. But so, like, every time my dad did something, she would heighten it. Like, it was just
so
like,
it was really a neighbor battle
yeah,
that so, she went public with because he was a celebrity.
Right. And so then we'd have people protesting, like, you know, would like sign like every day, and then the helicopters would be above wow. our house every
yeah
day.
I remember the helicopter shots.
And this, we moved there in November, so this was like 5 months into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that so makes sense in
like,
the spring.
Whoa, welcome to Lake
to
Forest,
Lake Forest.
Yeah. So
wow, how long did you end up staying there?
I lived there into my mom sold it in 2000. So
oh, so it was a long
there,
time
yeah,
that you had the
moved
house
there in 1986. So yeah,
wow,
14 years.
It's so weird that so now it's on the market. How I didn't realize how big it was. Like I said,
yeah,
except
yeah,
I just remember
it's huge. I saw that
because
yeah.
I mean, like
aerial
in the
shots.
In the news, it was like, oh, you know, don't you get it? It's a forest. You know, you don't move out to the Lake Forest to cut down the trees. It's a no. That's really the arguments they were
yeah.
having, Tom, in the papers and everything.
People were so upset about it.
They
it
were
just,
super crazy about
yeah,
it.
But
it was
yeah.
it was surreal.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. Yeah, there was just one owner before we moved in. The Armors, like the bacon.
Oh. Like the bacon. Armors? Wait.
Yeah, like the sausage bacon.
The bacon kings.
Yeah.
They're actual sausage
not
kings.
Under
yes.
right.
So this is on the market now. So how big is this house?
It is huge. I didn't. It's so weird. Like, because when I would tell. This is so weird. When I would tell other people, like when I was a kid or like how big it was, because I think they've remodeled it. But when we moved there, it was like 10 bedrooms, maybe 12
wow.
bathrooms. Oh. But it's called like Two Gables. I know you guys don't care about this, but it's
I do. I
want to
tell about the Gables.
Awesome. It's literally,
look at Tom's like, yes, I want to know about the Gables.
It's like two houses in one. So
that's what I noticed.
Yeah,
it's like an L
like
shape.
An L, yeah. yeah. So one part of the house was where like the Armors lived, and then the other part is where like her or their servants live. So it's wow. literally like a like two split houses. So on one side, it's like these beautiful bedrooms and like a living room and a dining room, and then on the other side is another living room and dining room and smaller bedrooms. So it's like literally, yeah, it's just weird.
Two side-by-side
yeah.
houses.
Yeah, so she wouldn't have to see the gross help come in and things like that. And they wouldn't share a same kitchen. And
do you know when the house was built? I don't.
It was.
Early 1900s?
Like a, yes, yes.
Yeah, that sounds,
well
right.
over 100 years old, yeah.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Wow. And what do you know what made your dad decide to buy that house?
My mom bought it. My dad did not see it until he came there maybe like 3 or 4 weeks before the tree cutting. So my mom saw, this is funny, my mom was looking for a house for like 2 years. We lived on Michigan, South Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was looking, and then she had put like the down payment down or whatever for a house in Olympia Fields. And this her real estate agent, who was named Mary, who I always remember her, she was the nicest woman in the world, was like, hey, this house just went on sale. Because we never came up to the North Shore, because my mom didn't know anything about the North Shore. We yeah. from the South Side, so we'd gone to all the South, or South suburbs and everything. So she was like, oh, a house just went on sale in this neighborhood called Lake Forest. Do you want to go see it? And so my mom's like, yeah. And my mom's like, when they pulled up, she was like, ah, I want that one. I want that one.
Well, because so, I would imagine, like, you drive up that driveway.
Right, yeah. My mom's like, I was sold, like, when I saw it. Yeah. And the guy was, they had, like, a, I don't know what you call it. Like, the Armors had, like, a dude living there who was just, like, keeping
like a groundskeeper?
Up. Yeah, like, keeping up with the house. But
a caretaker?
Once, yeah, yeah. Once they knew that my dad was the one who wanted to buy it, because they were kind of like, where is this black lady getting this money from who has no job? once they knew it was my dad, they made a great deal with her.
Really?
Because I think it was, my mom said it was like $2 million, and my mom offered $1.6 million, and they settled on $1.7 million or something. So she got a good deal. Not
much?
A good deal, but
yeah,
yeah,
but
a deal. Yeah. So.
Well, for two houses, 10 bedrooms, 12 bathrooms.
Yeah. So 33 rooms in total. Yeah.
Wait,
it's like two kitchens, two living rooms, like a study. Yeah, it's weird.
Perfect in-law situation.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, all the in-laws.
The pool. And
how many people live there with you guys?
Just me and my sister, wow. My mom and dad. Yeah.
Do you have two rooms? Like your day room and your night room?
You like run, did you have your own house? Did you and your sister have like the servant's
house? No. When I was older and my sister moved out, I lived on the servant side. Like thinking, yeah.
It's like living in the basement.
Right, yeah. Like I had to
I'll
see
take
my
the
parents.
Side house.
Yeah.
That's
I had
awesome.
To see my parents, yeah.
I'll be in this house. And you said there's a pool.
A pool. And it was like, I think, 7 acres, 8 acres.
I was going to ask about how big.
Yeah, I was just
was.
Looking at pictures online.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you really? Are you interested in buying it? Well, so so in 2000, I mean, in 1980, you said 84,
Six,
86,
yeah.
She bought for $1.6 million, $1.7 million.
Yeah.
How much is it on the market for now?
7.5. It was, it's, but it's appraised at much higher than that, I think.
Yeah, but there's not enough trees.
They restored
had they kept
the trees.
35 trees.
Yes. Oh, no. So that
wait,
was 35 that day.
Wait, yeah. Someone, the people that moved in after you restored the trees?
Yeah, and some guy wrote an article, and I was just in a bad mood, and so he had wrote this article about like blah 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 like, but they planted 150 trees and like I was in a bad mood last week, so I just wrote like my goal in life is to purchase a house and chop down every tree that those people planted.
Because again, it was his property.
It just makes, yeah, and it's
it was,
like there's a law now, or it's not even a law. I don't know what you call it in Lake
Forest. Ordinance?
Yeah, it's called the Lawrence Tiro Law, which is like. You can't cut down, which is my dad's name. You can't cut down trees unless you get it approved by the like, the National like Historical Society of Lake Forest.
Of course.
Yeah, because if they feel like it has history, like if it's rotting and blah blah blah, then they'll let you. But if there's
and
no
all,
reason,
and all of a sudden the ash borer beetles are, somebody just comes in. What if I just dump these over here?
Right. You're like, oh,
sorry, I'm not encouraging the destruction of life. Plants anywhere. Quick break into the news. We're hanging out with Erica Nicole Clark. She's performing all over the city. You can catch shows of hers at the Comedy Bar and at Laugh Factory. She's also written the book How to Be a Stalker, available on Amazon.com. Paul's here too. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farivar Esquire. Also joining us is comedian and author Erica Nicole Clark. You can go to ericaclarkcomedy.com for upcoming performances, including ones at the Chicago Underground. She is also Mr. T's daughter, which is just so much. It's just weird. But it's weird when people say it's weird, isn't it? That's the thing.
No,
you're
no,
like,
no, no.
Like, I'm just me.
It's my whole life. I get it. I know it's weird because you don't
it's,
imagine
but it's pretty
him
cool.
to have kids and like.
I do.
Like, not like daughter. I don't know. I don't.
How many kids? How many, do you have, you said you have a sister?
Yeah, that I acknowledge. I don't know the other.
I wasn't
boy.
Asking that. Wow.
I don't know the other half brother, but yeah, so it's just me and my sister. So I don't know. It's just like my whole life. I don't know if they thought we would look differently or I don't know. It's just that's always been like that. You guys are his daughters, really? Like, I don't know if we're supposed to have like ripped off shirts.
Or have like ID. Right? Like
mohawks.
Mohawks right? and stuff.
Yeah. Like your eighth grade graduation picture with him with his arm around you and the gold chains.
Right, yes.
So your mom picked out this house in Lake Forest in 1986. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And within 5 months, Mrs. Crow came knocking because your father had decided mm-hmm. on his property in order to be able to get a better view of people perhaps, well, not perhaps, they actually right. did trespass and steal property from right. your dad and from your home, well, from the cars.
Right. Mrs. Crow, just to be fair, after the trees, there Mrs. Crow called the police maybe like 4 or 5 times. She said mm-hmm. we had my mom bought me and my sister German Shepherds for like Christmas. And so my sister got like the traditional looking one and I got the all black one. With,
the German. Those are like.
Yeah. Oh, it's so pretty. And so she called the National Enquirer. And the ASPCA, because she said we had, like, exotic animals, that I had a panther.
It was a dog.
A German Shepherd. Yeah, but they came to check to make sure, like, that we didn't have panthers on the property. But she sold that story to National Enquirer before it was, like, you know, so it was just like Mr. T caught with, like, you know, they preferred that than to say, like, oh, no, he had 2 dogs.
Right.
He had 2 German Shepherds. But
So Mrs. Crow is just trying to find a way to make her dollar.
A lot of noise violations. Like, we'd be out of town.
And you had, like, 7 or 8 acres.
Huh?
Like, what was she doing, like, with her ear up against the fence?
Okay, so you see how the L part is?
Right.
She was right in front of where they touch, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So we had a fence. I'm trying to think. How can I show this?
It's okay. People actually can go online and look
right,
at your property because
so
it's on the market.
See where they meet at, like, mm-hmm. There's a fence in front of there, and that's literally where her house was. So
it comes to a point here, and then there's a fence, and then
right
across from
house
that.
Was right there, and right. it was like her kitchen window, so she could literally sit in her kitchen. And
so she was happier when the Armors, the Sausage Kings of Chicago, were living there.
She could stare and be like, oh, you know, and call.
She was like, I was trying to look up the name from the Bewitched Neighbors, Mrs. Kravitz. She's like Mrs. Kravitz, like sitting in the window all the time, like calling
right,
them Mr.
Like, yeah.
T. We have a listener who's wanted to ask you a question. We are talking to Eric and Nicole Clark, whose former home is on the market. And it's been sold twice since you lived there. You would like to be able to buy it, but right now it's on the market and it's about $7 million. Peachy, what do you want to ask?
Yeah, I had a question. I want to ask you something, but I'm hoping I phrase this right, because I don't want you to think that I'm, you're a celebrity. Let's ask for money, you know, type of thing. So please don't take it this way.
Okay.
My brother lives in a group home. He's mentally retarded with cerebral palsy. He actually, they live, this kid is a smart aleck.
Right. I know, you told me.
And he lives, St. Coletta's of Illinois is the whole group. And I was just wondering if you ever thought about donating it to people with adults with disabilities, because their waiting list can go up to 8 years
long. I know. It's hard. Well, Peachy, she doesn't own the house anymore. The Mr. T and Mrs. T, I don't know what your mom's name is. They sold the house in 2000, so it's been owned by 2 other owners since then.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
But it's a great idea. I wish your idea. Yeah.
Yeah, because, people like this, they would benefit so much. I mean, the rooms alone.
Yeah.
You could probably get 20, people, and it would be a great tax write-off.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, if there's anybody out there who has a property, I wonder where they would go for that. I'm sure you can Google if you want to donate property for group homes. Definitely worth
it. They really need it. I mean, these lists are like up to 10 years long in some places.
I know. I'm already on a list, and my son's only 11. So we're on a list, hopefully, for when he gets older and when I'm not around anymore. We're already on the list. So cool. I know.
I got one other question.
Uh-huh.
When your dad was cutting down the trees, was he just trying to bark up the wrong tree or branch out?
That's funny.
See, well done, Peachy. Well done. You got one in there.
You didn't think you were going to get away with that one.
Have a great night, Peachy. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Easy.
Thank you. Yeah, Mrs. Crow calls the police and creates stories that go into the National Enquirer.
She doesn't necessarily create. She just leaves the room for possibility. A lot of, like, oh my goodness, it was something you know, like, I think my dad shot his gun on, like, New Year's Eve. And, you know, like, oh, they're fighting over there. It was a lot of, like, if one little thing happened.
It was a much bigger story.
And at that time, I think there was, that I'm definitely aware of, three other black families in Lake Forest. And, like, they were all, like, one dude owned, like, a sewage company. I don't know what my friend's mom did. And then there was us. So right. It was, like, we were, like, the representation of all black people. Like,
they're up to no good.
Right,
they're
yeah.
being loud. They have panthers on their property.
Right, yeah.
And what did you, well, when there were only the two of you then at one point living at this on this property, in this home, into that when your mom sold it?
When my mom sold it, it was just me. My sister moved out. My parents had split up. So it was just me and my mother living there, right?
Which is ridiculous. Just split the house in two.
Right.
Did you ever, like, just call each other from other ends of the house?
It was just super weird. Like, oh, what are we doing? But, yeah, so, and I'm sure, I don't know if I should tell the story as to why my mom had to sell it.
If you want to, it's up to you.
Oh, well, I mean, because it's public knowledge, so I guess it's not really telling a story. So,
up to you.
Okay, so my dad, all right, I'll make it like a 20-second story, so not to, like,
whatever you wanna
elongate
do.
It. Okay, so there are two guys that my dad was friends with when he was younger,
uh-huh.
And they feel as though they created the image of
Mr. T.
Right.
Really?
Which they did. Okay, so...
we didn't hear anything.
They, right. So they...
I'd always heard that your dad, like, as a bouncer, like,
yeah,
kind of created this persona.
They owned the club that he was the bouncer at.
Okay. But so they told him to, like...
Yeah.
To wear gold chains.
Yeah.
And, uh-huh. Okay. Come up with phrases.
So they originally sued my dad for 10% of what he earned at, well, for Rocky III, which is his first big thing.
Good. He was so good.
Yeah.
He was so good in
that's
that.
That's, like, one of my... When I was a kid, that was, like, my favorite. And,
well, I love the A-Team. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So they wanted 10% of that, right? And so my dad kept getting continuances or, like, oh, I've got to be in LA for this. And so kept prolonging it at the same time, making more and more money. So it's like 10%. They just kept wanting 10% of what he made. So
do you think if he just paid 10% for just Rocky III, it would have been easier?
Been so much easier. Okay. So fast forward to 97, Dirk, because that's when my mom had the whatever. So my dad, the judge was like, no more running. This has been like 12 years of, you know, whatever.
Letting it pile up.
Yeah.
Right.
And so my dad put everything in my mother's name because my parents aren't married. They were just together. But thinking that that would clear him, like, okay, they want 10%. They can't. I don't have it. You know, because
right.
at that point they wanted $12.5 million. So, but in Illinois, they recognize common law marriage. So you can't put something in someone's name that you've been living with for 27 years
because
they figured that that's your wife. So they sued my mother and won.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
So she had to pay off the judgment with the house.
By the way, Paul right now is trying to figure out how he would have won that case for your mom.
He couldn't.
No, I don't know what I wouldn't have transferred the funds because there's all kinds of problems with that.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. That shows that
could have been.
You're trying to hide something.
Right.
It makes it your case weaker.
They could have gone after him for that.
So he
too.
Transferred. Right. He transferred his house, you know, and all that stuff. But the crazy thing is, those two men owned E2 Nightclub. And if you remember that.
No.
Yes,
that was in 2003 when that burned in February.
After they got their money and everything in 2000, like a year, 2 years later.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, but those poor people in that nightclub.
Yeah. They
got
sued for $21 million and lost. Yeah. So for like $21 million for each.
For those not familiar, there was a stampede at a nightclub. There was
February of 2000.
Yeah, because yeah. I was working. That was a tragic story. Right. I was really big. It changed like all
crazy.
Changed all the rules for all the bar
safety
regulations,
and exits, and
PPA licenses,
fire.
Everything. Yeah.
Wow, that's all wrapped up in that. And those are the guys that, like, convinced your dad to wear gold chains.
Yes, so it's crazy. My dad has a tattoo, but they all have the same tattoo. My dad, like, if you ask him right now, he said it's taking care of business, whatever. But it says TCB. They all have the same tattoo and everything. And so yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's
what is a TCB?
My dad's last name is Tiro, so the T. The guy's name was Calvin, and the other dude's name was John Batoy, so it's B. So TCB.
Wow.
Interesting.
And they all have that tattoo, but my dad will say it's taking care of business. Like, whatever.
Oh yeah, I bet he would. And he's now he's on Dancing with the Stars.
I know, right?
How weird is that?
It's so weird. It's like I didn't even know. And then I wake up and I have like three phone calls from, I have a friend who does radio in LA and he's kind of like, I know it's crazy, but can I have your dad's number? And I'm like, absolutely not. Why? And he's like, because I want to ask him about Dancing with the Stars. And I'm like, why? And he's like, because he's going to be on there. And I'm like, ah. Then my sister texts me like, oh, is daddy going to be on Dancing with the Stars? Then my mom called and she was like, oh, Lawrence is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. I hope he falls. Like, oh, God.
Because
she's like, he can't dance. He cannot dance. And so I'm interested.
Well, that's kind of part of the fun of it, though.
Right.
Isn't it?
No, but he like really can't.
He's going to be all attitude.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I think people will vote for him because they want to see him, depending on how it goes.
Oh, I've never seen the show. They vote for the
person. The audience votes for the people they vote. Yeah, right. So that's kind of the thing. And you, when you do stand-up comedy, you talk a little bit about that, but you have such great stories about relationships, about being a teacher, about working with kids. And and I mean, there's so much to, you know, that's part of your story, but it's not what defines you. You have so much more. And you're such a great comic.
Oh,
always so much fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, stop. You're funny. Funny's funny.
Thanks.
And you're performing at the Chicago Underground coming up, but you can go to ericaclarkcomedy.com for information. I know. See, thank you. Yes. I said it was hot in the studio, and everyone told me I was crazy. It's hot.
She's got a jacket on.
It's hot. I know. I have a sweater on.
I don't remember. All right, then.
Well, I won't make you stay because it is hot in here. It's late. If you want to, we're going to check in with Michael Heidemann, who's at South by Southwest. You're welcome to join us and find out how it's going down there.
Okay.
And we'll be back in just a moment on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining us is comedian and author Erica Nicole Clark. Her book, How to Be a Stalker, is available on Amazon.com. I think that it's a skill set. You don't know. And we also have comedian Paul Farvar in studio with us and all the way from Austin, Texas, having a good time. Hey, Michael, here's Erica Nicole Clark. Erica Nicole Clark, this is Michael Heidemann.
Hi. Hey, Mike.
Sorry.
Hi, Erica. Hey, what's going on, Paul? Hey, Patty. Erica, I'm totally enjoying this story. Man, how interesting, right?
Oh, thank you.
It's so cool. I know. Isn't that crazy? It was a 10-bedroom house. Well, double house. Two kitchens, two living rooms. It's
3.3 rooms per person.
Michael, how much?
That's how I calculated it. Well, when it was her and her sister.
Michael, do you think that we could get listeners? Maybe we like pool our resources amongst the listeners, and maybe we like do an Airbnb. We buy it and like
Airbnb it
and just sort of do like one of those co-ops.
That's how we make our money back for the mortgage.
Oh,
that's amazing. I have $5,000, which is my life savings, and they could have it all.
We would do a timeshare, right?
Okay. Oh, no? Yeah.
How many? Hey. You know how many people will just want to stay there based on the fact that it was Mr. T's house?
But there's nothing that shows that there's not like a gold fountain. No,
we go down and cut all 150 trees
all
they planted.
Sales are final.
Is there a brick fence now?
No, he never got
the brick fence.
Never.
We can do a tour of like a Mr. T tour.
There's nothing.
Yeah,
and then Michael,
and then you could sell your book at the end. It's
exactly.
That's great.
I like that.
I've already got it all.
Michael, you're surrounded by celebrities. I say you to hey.
Yeah.
You know what you should do?
Sell this
I think I'm going to need to do this video tomorrow. I need you to find some celebrities and say, hey, by the way, Mr. T's house is for sale in the Chicagoland area. Would you be interested in buying it with Patty Vasquez and her listeners?
That's awesome. Yeah.
I'm 100% into that. I'm going to ask everybody. In fact, I'm writing the sign right now.
Yes.
Big, bold letters.
$7 million. Yes.
It's funny you say that because today, lo and behold, I woke up this morning and I sent an email to Mick Fleetwood's people from Fleetwood Mac and tried to secure this interview. They made the mistake of letting me speak to him for about 30 minutes. And by
so
the end
awesome.
Of it, both Mick and I were talking about investing into Chess Records in Chicago to make it a landmark status and try to buy the place to make it a museum.
Paul just got very excited.
Your $5,000 and his millions.
All his money.
But it was your idea, right, Mike?
I said, you know, I'll be a silent investor. I never said it was going to be full-fledged.
I can make it work. You guys need a lawyer to close that deal. I know someone.
There you go.
Hey.
Yeah,
that works for me.
So
see if they, and you can ask people if they're Mr. T fans, and then be like, "Hey, by the way, we have this Airbnb idea."
There is rarely a time when that doesn't come up in conversation,
right? Yeah, that's what I was laughing at.
It always comes up. It's so natural.
Right.
What did Mick Fleetwood have to say today? What were some of the besides buying into Chess Records here in Chicago? What's go ahead.
As far as what's been going on?
What'd you learn from him? What were some of the fascinating moments of your interview with Mick Fleetwood?
Oh, my gosh. It was like staring into the face of God or the sun. It was bizarre because he's, for one thing, he's about 7'3".
Uh-huh.
And he has the skin of just like a gold lilac.
What is happening? Gold.
Are you in love?
Tom Hush is about to jump out of the microphone because he needs to stop you.
That's a very sensual description of Mick Fleetwood. I've seen him. Like, he's great, but ooh.
Have you ever described anyone as having a skin like a gold lilac?
I've never seen a gold lilac. I mean, I haven't seen Mick Fleetwood, so I guess.
It is late in Austin.
Well, no, but this is early in the day. It's how dazzled you were, Michael.
Right
now. I see what you're saying.
Yes. It's late, but it's radio, so I'm trying to paint a picture for people.
Okay. All right, we're in. 7'3".
Gold lilac.
Skin like a gold lilac.
Smells like gold lilacs as well.
Or gold retriever. Which one? I'm sorry, that was mean. I'm just trying to.
Apologies,
actually,
Mick Fleetwood.
He's probably as loyal as a golden retriever, so that works.
He's loyal. Okay, let's look at. So, what are the gold? What does he smell like? Does he smell like
soap?
Did you
say he's loyal like a golden retriever?
Maybe.
Do you know what the album Fleetwood Rumors is all about?
I was literally about to say that.
Do you not know what that album is about, Mike?
It didn't come up in the conversation, Paul.
That fits actually very good into it because we spoke about the early years. He's putting out this new book which chronicles the years from 1967 to 1974, right before they came to America and met up with Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. So he told me all about what was going on before then, and what was going on was he had actually been entrenched in this blues band that he was really into, because the Fleetwood Mac started as this blues band, and they came to Chicago, and he was explaining that without Chicago, Fleetwood Mac wouldn't even be in existence because of our blues influence. And
wow.
He would come to Chicago, play at Chess Records. He put out a blues record called Fleetwood Mac Live in Chicago. Oh, no, Blues in Chicago. With a lot of the famous record producers there, played with Buddy Guy, B.B. King, and this is a young Mick Fleetwood. So hearing him explain these things, I stood there in awe, let alone the fact that he was a gold lilac and silver blue eyes. It was amazing.
He's a legend.
He was swimming in his pools of blue eyes.
That album, well, I know that the history of Fleetwood Mac before Rumors was a whole different band, and you're right, they're called blues bass, but I mean, Rumors is one of the top 10 albums, in my opinion, of all time. So,
by far.
And now that I know that his skin is golden lilac, now I like it more. I'm going to listen to it on the way home.
In a totally different way.
Really, what did he smell like?
He listens. I didn't really get a good whiff, to be honest.
You saw all that, but you didn't smell him, though.
I know I didn't, but I'm really hoping he doesn't listen to this interview, so he maybe talk again one day because I'm trying to get him on the show.
Oh, I think you haven't done anything.
No, I mean, I worship him. I read the books about the Rumors album being made. You know, the producer of that album was Ken Kelly, which is Kobe Kelly's dad.
Who's Kobe Kelly?
Wow. That Bubbles girl, right?
Kobe Calais is an amazing singer.
Oh, Kobe Calais.
Kobe Calais. Yeah, her dad.
That's not how you said it.
You said Kobe Calais. That's what
Calais.
You said Calais. The first time
Ken
you said
Kelly. Well, I'm still.
I'd also leave earlier for the airport. All right.
Yeah. I'm getting bullied all night. Esmeralda, now you Kobe. And now
hold on.
Eric
we have,
is here.
Look, Mike only has a few more minutes. Mike, what are your plans tomorrow? Who's your fantasy get for the rest of? What other gold lilac skinned performers do you want to talk to?
Well, so South by Southwest is going on until the 18th. I'll be here until the 18th. There's a lot of things to do. Music actually hasn't even started yet, so I haven't even seen the music portion of it. I've spoken to a lot of great startups here at South by Southwest. I spoke to Bill Nye, which was...
We saw that video. It's very cool.
Yeah, he was a very fantastic guy. And the cool thing about all these people, let alone it be Mick Fleetwood, Bill Nye, we're going to be speaking to Frank Oz from the Muppets very soon.
Cool. You're going to crush my son. He loves Frank Oz. He's a big fan.
Oh, I'll be sure to name drop him for sure.
Yeah, there you go. We'll take a selfie with him at least. You'll be Griffin's hero too.
I want him to do the voice.
I know.
That's my goal.
Which voice?
So
Kermit?
Fozzie.
Fozzie? There you go. Does he do Kermit? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He might.
So
he does. I'm going to force him to do it. I'm just going to do Kermit right now.
Do it now.
Force him to sing Go Your Own Way by Fleetwood Mac and see what happens.
It's a good song.
In Fozzie's voice.
I kind of love that. Now I need to hear it. What were you going to say, Michael?
I was going to say they all have this great connection with Chicago, and that's the cool thing about being a part of like a legendary station like WGN. It's the fact that all I need to do is bring up, hey, I'm from WGN, and Bill Nye goes, oh, WGN, I love that radio station. That's really big in Chicago. Or I bring up Chicago to Mick Fleetwood, and he goes, this is where I got my start in a music career. So it's fantastic. So no matter who I talk to, I already have the first few interview questions down pat. So
I love that.
To enjoy it.
Did you get a chance to see Joe Biden's speech the other day? I know you were going to see that.
Yes, I did. So I sat into Joe Biden's speech. He spoke on his cancer research project. He's doing a moonshot initiative, which is bringing a lot of new data information into cancer research because his son was afflicted with it. So now he's going to be going through that. They have over $70 million invested into new cancer research. And Barack Obama, before he left office, made it one of his initiatives to get really to get started in 2018 and 2017. So he spoke. I saw Mark Cuban speak about disruption in the political sphere. So if anybody wants to get down to South by Southwest, get ready to have your mind blown, because there's so many things to do that the FOMO is off the charts. I'm constantly just. I feel like
we have to explain what FOMO is. Michael, tell people what FOMO is.
The fear of missing out.
There's so much going on. You have to make a choice. You have to pick one or the other and hope that you know what, you can't. No regrets, Michael. You pick one thing, you enjoy the hell out of it, and don't worry about anything else.
Exactly. And the only thing that I'm really missing is Paul on the djembe.
Yeah, never again. We're banning it from ever bringing it up again, actually.
I didn't bring it up until someone did. But
I did.
For the record, since you've been gone, Mike, it's been really hard here. I've been bullied all night.
Yeah.
By Esmeralda.
Hey, Michael, what did you fly out of O'Hare or Midway Airport?
I flew out of O'Hare.
And what time did you, how much ahead of the departure time did you arrive?
20 minutes. What?
3 hours.
3 hours?
Yes. It's something my dad instilled.
That's insane.
No, that's fantastic. What do you do? So when you get to the airport early, you know that you're there. I've never missed a flight. You have now. Well, that's because you leave when you only have an hour left before the flight.
We'll see you in
Michael, we have to run. We're going to check in with you again tomorrow night. All right?
Sounds great, Patty. Shout out to DJ Tom Hush, by the way.
Yes. Tom's rocking it. Thank you so much, Michael. Have fun. Be safe. Enjoy yourself.
Bye, Mike. See you next week.
I'll ask about the Motel 6 tomorrow, so be ready with notes.
Sounds good.
Bye, Mike. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farivar, Esquire.
And I like that you added Esquire recently.
Do you like that? Yeah, well, you're a lawyer. Yeah, I'm just going to do it all the time now.
It gives me a cue that I might need to be smart.
Be legal, yes.
I can't say something stupid for 10 minutes.
I always say something stupid. I need somebody in the room. Thankfully, also, we have Erica Nicole Clark. She's a comedian and an author. She's written How to Be a Stalker, available on Amazon.com. And actually, maybe you can explain what wiretapping is. As a stalker, have you ever been able to tap into someone's telephone? Because, you know, when you started your stalking skills in mm-hmm. high school,
yes.
None of us had cell phones.
Right.
So did you ever think about climbing a telephone pole? Like, we would see those on TV shows where you could, like, wire into. Like,
I always wanted to do that. Yeah. I actually want to take app classes just so I can figure out how to tap into people's phones, because that's no fun. You just want you just want their text messages. That's all people
sure.
want is their text messages.
Or emails.
No one's, no one's listening in on phone calls because no one's making phone
right,
calls.
Right, no one makes phone calls. And the most I've ever found is one app, which I don't even think probably works, which will send you all the incoming text messages that someone gets, but won't show you the out one.
So you
that's like $70 a month.
Oh, yes,
it's like $69.99 a month.
Wow.
And I think that's probably just a ripoff, so...
Wow.
But I would love to do that, though.
I just want to know. You're just curious, right?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know whose phones I would want to see what texts are coming in. I'm trying to think. My husband doesn't. He doesn't really even. He texts with me. He got it. Okay, I was going to ask you about it before we move on to wiretapping.
Oh, yeah.
You asked me about it. So I got, my husband's going to be so mad at me. I'm sharing this story. So it's, my husband's not on Facebook. He is not on any social media, has no interest, does not like when I post photos of him or our children. And I never take photos of the kids' faces because I don't have their permission when they're 25 or 30 years old to have taken photos and cataloged their entire lives. So if they ever want to do that when they're 30 and want to do their Throwback Thursdays, they can do that themselves. But my husband does not like it. So his friends who try to reach out to him, I don't know if they just don't have his phone number anymore. So one of his friends did a group message to me. So it was a bunch of other, like one guy wanted to he's apparently in a pro, like doing a 12 step and wants to make amends with the people in his life. But because he doesn't have Steve's face, Steve is not on Facebook, I was included in the group. So now I'm getting all these messages of, I've got your back, man. I love you. And this is, you know, the hardest step is admitting it and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is really uncomfortable. I'm like, Steve, would you just, could you please just chime in?
Right, yeah.
And he's like, I'm not talking. He goes, if he wants to talk to me, I'll call him. And I'm like, but I guess I'll just leave then. Do I just leave?
That'd be so awful. He's just like, I really need you guys. And he just like leaves conversation.
Right? That's Please go. Patty has left the conversation. This isn't for me.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm a little bit torn over. I feel like, but like Steve has to write. He knows the guy. I've met the guy once in my entire life.
What are you supposed to do?
I don't know. But it's really, really very, very awkward. But so that, I kind of feel like I'm eavesdropping on that conversation. So on March 4th, the president of the United States, who he enjoys to tweet. He's a tweeter from way back. He wrote, terrible, exclamation point. Just found out that Obama had my, quote, wires, space, tapped, quotation marks, in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found, period. This is McCarthyism, exclamation point. Then question mark. Is it legal for a sitting president to be, quote, wiretapping, quote, a race for president prior to an election, question mark? Turned down by court earlier, period. A new caps, low caps, exclamation point. And I'm using all the punctuation because that apparently becomes important in Sean Spicer's.
What about the fact that he's asking Twitter for legal advice?
Right.
As a sitting president.
Maybe he thinks that Twitter is some like a magic
like a
eight
legal
ball,
research.
Right? If I ask Twitter, maybe I'll get an answer from Twitter.
And get some legal advice.
Why do you put wiretapping in quotes?
Well, we're about to find out.
Is he implying that they didn't get wiretapped? I don't know what that means.
That's what Sean says.
Here. According to Sean Spicer, if you look at the president's tweet, he said very clearly, quote, wiretapping, in quotes, Spicer. Said period.
What else does he put in quotes that makes no sense?
President.
Right.
Yeah. So because it was in quotes, that distinguishes it from the rest of the state. I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
It means that he did not mean wiretapping, which is what Sean said later in the interview.
He didn't mean wiretapping.
I don't know what else he meant because he put quotes.
So when I use, so Esmeralda, do you ever use air quotes? Like I get annoyed, like, you know.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, so you mean it sarcastically, right?
Right.
Usually when you use air quotes, you're being sarcastic about something.
And for things that are fake.
But why would he put, because what's the rest of the tweets? Like Obama, like sad or something.
A new low. It's a new low.
Yeah, a new low.
I don't think he knows how air quotes work.
Well,
or quotes in general.
You can't air quote. You can't air quote in print or in tweet.
Those aren't quotes, though, if you want to be technical.
What are they?
They're
parenthetical? No.
Yeah. They're like, quotes are two marks. Those are just one. Look at them.
Oh no! In my copy of it is two. Two of them.
Because in mine it's just one, which is like
interesting. No, the one that I'm looking at. So I don't know if I have the. It looks like a snapshot of it.
Okay.
This is in the Washington Post. So according to Spicer's argument, Trump didn't necessarily mean wiretapping when he said wiretapping, and reporters should know that because he put the phrase in quotation marks. By quote wiretapping quote, Trump could have been referring to anyone one among all quote whole host of surveillance types quote.
Oh yeah, he said something about like people put phones in TVs or microwaves.
Mm-hmm.
So
wait.
Listen, Carmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
what he said.
A bug. So they meant a bug. It may have,
yeah, but he still means that someone's listening in on him.
Right, mm-hmm. Which is the same
Yeah, I wasn't imagining like a janitor coming in and like slipping something and like cut, like splicing the wires. Like I mean, like you mentioned a minute ago, like nobody uses a phone anymore.
Right,
like we all kind of thought. I thought that he meant that they were being bugged. Like when former governor Blagojevich, now convict, now serving time, they bugged his. You know, they had bugs, and they also were listening to telephone conversations.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's a like random, you know, like. I don't know, guy with a wiretap, like, so Donald.
Yeah, speak awkwardly
in
into my
lapel.
Chest.
Yes. But yeah, so my question is, he's trying to act like there's a difference. If Obama was wiretapping or had phones in the microwave, which is such a random, like a visual to me, but what information was released by the Obama administration that
that was culled from that.
Yeah.
Right.
So what was all this information that he got from
him? They were just listening. They just wanted to Right. You're right. If he was listening to him, if he was wiretapping, then you would assume they had a court order to do it. They had a FISA, right?
Right.
If he was wiretapped, either there was some court that said that there's evidence that there's probable cause to something's going on, or he's just paranoid.
Right, the Justice Department said that he had to give proof today of
his
accusation.
But so they said this conference.
They're going to have the head of the FBI is going to be in a hearing.
Comey,
I think March
again?
20th.
He's so reliable.
But I heard TMZ say, sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt you, please.
But they had TMZ, which actually has really interesting news. They said that someone who is friends of Obama said that Trump called Obama twice and he did not return his phone call. And they feel as though this is maybe Trump's retaliation.
Oh, he's mad that Obama's
mad
on.
That Obama didn't
hilarious.
Pick up the phone.
Because he was waiting. He was like, he was like trying to will the phone to ring.
Right.
Call
and
right
I
now.
Guess.
Right now. Call right now.
Right.
And
maybe this will
they're saying that Trump feels some sort of way, but it's like, I'm sure if that is true, then Obama has no reason to speak to him on the phone.
Well, there's two things. Number one, the calls between Obama and Trump on Conan are probably the funniest things I've ever
seen
in my life. If you watch them, they're better than the Biden memes.
Well, and go ahead.
The second thing is there is the guy we talked about this last week that says that he might have been wiretapped, but it wasn't from Trump. It could have been the CIA, the FBI, a lot of people will do it. And again, you have to have probable cause to do it. And there must be something going on. So we'll find out on March 20th.
Well, Sean Spicer, press secretary for the White House, contends in the briefing that Trump is nevertheless right by an incredibly loose definition of, quote, wiretapping, quote, that includes a wide range of investigatory tactics.
Very and cool. Right is in quote, too. Right?
Yes.
Does that include putting a glass, you know, up to a door? You know?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I consider that wiretapping in a way.
You never get quite the quality that you
want. Yeah, you never hear the audio. It's like,
I mean, like, it might amplify the moaning. More to this on 720 WGN. We are almost done with our pretty late tonight with comedian Paul Farvar, comedian Paul Farvar Esquire.
Well, my legal stuff isn't needed right now, right?
No, it's not needed right now.
All right, good.
Just Paul Farvar and comedian and author Erica Nicole Clark. You can go to her website, ericaclarkcomedy.com, find out her schedule. She'll be performing at the Chicago Underground very soon, and she also has a book on Amazon.com called How to Be a Stalker. Everyone, you know, and it may not be that you may not want to be a stalker, but maybe once in a while there's some skills that you want to throw in there. You want to be able, like, you know, how to hone those.
Right.
You know, like if you happen to be in someone else's apartment by accident and you hear them coming in through the front door, you got to know what's the best. I mean, like, is a closet, you know, sometimes someone's closet. No, don't go in the closet.
No.
No.
Because it's dark and there's too much stuff to bump into. Like, you will easily be found out in the closet.
In a bathtub is better, do you think?
Bathtub is better. Lay down.
Laying
this
down under
bad.
A bed?
Are we actively, like, promoting being a stalker?
Maybe my legal advice is needed here,
saying,
and
you
shouldn't be giving advice.
You lay under a bed, you can get yourself hurt, because if they lay down, and they've got a crappy mattress, and then it's in your stomach.
Oh, no.
Right, and you're stuck and everything.
Yeah.
These are also
just
good
put a lampshade over your head and stand there.
Lampshade? Like, behind the curtains? Behind the curtains a good move? I like that one. It's a good one. I'll tell you myself. I have two something. something good. So first of all, I went sledding today. I know that when snow comes, you're just like, oh. But, you know, we had such little snow. I had two sleds that were given to me by firefighter Todd Chuchuk. Thank you again, Todd, for those cool sleds, because I had been talking about rushing out to the hardware store and buying a couple sleds at the last minute when it snowed. We've only had two major snowfalls this winter. And so, Todd Chuchuk, thank you so much for those. We had to test those bad boys out at the Bunker Hill Forest Preserve, and we had a blast. And my other something good was I had the distinct pleasure of going to the North Shore Center for Performing Arts on Saturday night and enjoying your fantastic comedy show. Thanks. Really, really, really good show. And Griffin had a great time. He thought you were very funny. Doesn't understand any of the dating things necessarily.
Oh, yeah, I did a couple things.
But he loved the whole show. He thought you were very funny.
Oh, awesome.
His favorite were you and Maz.
Oh, cool.
So nothing against the other comedians.
That's fine.
Yeah.
As long as I was on the list.
Yes, you were. It was a sold out house. How cool did that feel, by the way?
It was fun.
Where was it on your list of like, because some of those, like, you, I hope you took a mental picture of that, because those are the kinds of nights that keep you going.
You know, it was really darker than the last time I did a theater, so I didn't know. And I was caught off guard.
Yeah, you can't see anything. When you do a great theater like that, you never can see the crowd, which is great.
I was more, not because of that, I was caught off guard because I thought it was going to be an all Middle Eastern crowd. So I had a set in my mind for a minute, because he's a Persian comic, and I've done shows with Persian comics before, but he's mainstream now.
Yeah.
And
those tickets were expensive, by the way.
I didn't see any of that money. But, sorry.
I was looking at ticket prices for Brian Regan at the Chicago Theater.
How much?
I was like, dude, starting 80? At 78. No, oh, but wow. 78 and then like 146 for the main, like 146, 148, 168 for the main floor. Wow. Some tickets are up to like 378 for Brian Regan's show.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that wild?
That's crazy.
Do you think at that point you are getting... Like, does he have a flat rate he's getting paid?
Or I always wonder those things. I do the math in my head.
Or is he getting, like, I get 50% of the door? Like, I just always wonder.
I think everyone
point.
Has a different deal.
Yeah. Right. Well, because some people go 80-20. Some comics get 80% of the door when they do comedy clubs. They'll get 80% of the door because the club gets the drinks.
Right.
We're such comics.
We're trying to figure out how much money's out there. That's all I want to know.
That was a fun. Said,
yeah, it was a fantastic.
I don't know how he gets the APA there. I'm sure he had percentage of the door because it was sold out.
So I did think this was interesting, though. This is not something good. It was interesting because I was texting you that I was going to head out and I wanted to say hi to you. And he was backstage telling you a story. I hear you know someone's doing really well when they don't mind that merch dollars are walking out the door.
Like, oh, really?
Oh, Erica,
I love you. He's like, anyway, so.
Yeah, no, he was like, he didn't even come out.
He came out, but
eventually,
he was
more than 20 minutes. No, that was, we were out in the lobby for a long time.
He said,
I can show you when I texted you and when I left. And
he said that he told her, the lady, to come grab him in like 5 minutes. He wanted the people that didn't want to stay, the meet and greet, to leave. And then. Yeah, it ended up being way longer.
Oh, yeah.
The story he told was really long.
This is how, when I get off the stage and I know I'm selling T-shirts or anything,
front,
I go through the audience. I'm
right,
like, I'm in the lobby before the first people out the door. Because I want them to stop and talk, and I want to say hi to people and thank them. But also, if they want to buy something.
I hate that part. I hate
You hate standing there?
I cannot. I don't know what to say. When they're like, oh, my God, Patty, I love you so much. What do you...
Oh, no, I just thank him so much. I take a selfie with them.
And then they just stand there and they stare at you. And you're just like, okay, well.
That's okay. I like it.
I like
my phone's ringing.
I will say, if I have a terrible show, I'm in my car before the first people are out the front door.
Yeah.
It happens. I have those nights. Paul, tell me something good. I took up a lot of time there.
Oh, no. That was an awesome night. That was awesome that you were there. Thank you. I got my show Drink Day Laugh this Friday at Laugh Factory. Hit me up on paulfcomedy.com for tickets. And then next week I go see the Cubs at spring training and do some shows out
there.
Yeah. 11th year in a row.
I'm so jealous that you're going. Well, fine then, Eric. Oh, she's a White Sox fan. There you go.
That's all right.
Get it.
They're there too. They're going to be in Glendale. I'll go see them.
Tell us something good, Erica.
I don't know. Yeah, I got some shows this week at Chicago Underground Comedy at the Beat Kitchen.
Oh, cool.
Which is always a really fun show.
Yeah.
And it's always a good crowd. And Laugh Factory. And that's pretty much it. Going to be out of town. Going to go back to New York.
Oh, you are? Hang out with some friends,
seller.
Doing some comedy?
Yeah.
How do you like doing comedy in New York compared to Chicago?
I liked it. I was... You ever seen Married with Children? Like,
yes.
With the Bundy curse, when he keeps, like, good things keep happening, so he thinks it's going to build up. So I kept having really good shows, and my last show was at the Comedy Cellar. So I was just like, and this is where it's going to be like that epic bomb. Because they were like, eh, we don't give guest spots. We don't know who you are. So I got recommendations. So I was kept waiting for that huge bomb. But it never happened. So it'll probably happen this time
no,
when I go. But
no
comedy, I was like, maybe Chicago makes you too hard, because that was much easier than I thought.
Interesting.
It wasn't easy, like, oh, right. You know, whatever. But it was much easier than I had built it up in my head to be.
That's great. Well, very well. Yeah. We'll have fun in New York.
Yes.
Tom Hush, you want to tell us something good?
Yeah, my good thing happened a little bit earlier. It was this past weekend. On Saturday, I was producing for Jane Manzuris.
Yes.
And I was lucky enough to get to bring my grandmother, who immigrated from Ireland in the 50s. She was on the phone, and Jane talked to her about immigrating, and it was just really nice.
Oh, that's wonderful. Where does your grandma live now?
She's on the northwest side. She's been there for like 56 years.
Oh, really? Do you ever go to the Irish American Heritage Center?
All the time.
We're going to be we're gonna have them in studio on Wednesday night. I was at the Irish American Heritage Center on Saturday. It was a great event, and they have more this weekend for the proper St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
As I didn't mean to leave you out of the something good. Do you have something good?
No.
It's snowing.
Did you bully anyone else?
All right.
No, just you.
We're not bullying you.
And anyway, I was giving you proper advice.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You wouldn't have missed your flight if you'd been there 2 hours ahead of time.
We're not doing yoga anymore, Esmeralda.
All right. Then Nick D is up next. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.